Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmally, my co-host here, Dave Popowich. How you doing, buddy?
I'm terrific. How about you?
I'm okay.
Good.
A little bit of scared in this city.
Well, listen, you had the daunting task of being on media all week this week, and it was a crazy week. We'll get to that in just a minute, but we're going to have to make some sense of what happened, and we've got a terrific guest that's going to help us do that, and we want to talk a little bit about what's the potential economic effect of the COVID-19 virus, and we'll have one of Canada's leading economists help us understand some of that.
Yeah, we're also going to see, is Canada's healthcare system prepared for the new generation? And
yeah,
I'm not talking about the young people that are being born. I'm talking about the new wave of people over the age of 65, and how's our healthcare system going to be ready? And this type of pandemic is a good test.
Well, for sure, the healthcare system is front and center in our minds, right? But check this out. Just a quick tease so that we to keep people sticking around for this. But right now, Canadian population is comprised of about 17% of people that are 65 and older, 16% that are 14 and younger.
Correct.
Okay.
So we have the same amount of people over the age of 65 as we do under the age of 14.
65, that population is growing rapidly. Okay. The younger is decreasing as a percentage of the population.
We need a three-baby policy. Well, we'll talk about that.
Yeah. But from a healthcare perspective,
yeah,
Faisal, we've got 304 geriatricians in the country, and we've got 2,800 pediatricians. There's an imbalance there.
You think?
Right. Do you think our system is ready for, you know, this wave of what's coming?
Yeah.
We've got to talk about that.
So that's going to be a very interesting topic after the commercial break. And so we had a very crazy week in the markets.
Mm-hmm.
What I found very interesting this week was the massive panic sell, the massive panic of everything being sold. Like,
well, it was a baby with the bathwater event, right? You just throw everything out with the bathwater. And
then Thursday was a tough day for investors on what happened. It was tough for people to see their portfolios that day. It was tough to see it the next morning. I'm glad that this actually happened.
Do tell. That will surprise people.
I'm glad this actually happens for multiple reasons. We were saying from last year, this market seemed a bit too frothy. It was fairly or slightly overvalued.
Yeah. Well, the economic data certainly wasn't supporting what we saw
correct.
In, say, the equity market rally.
Correct. Right? And so, you know, the stock market is a predictor of the future. The economy and the economic numbers are the facts.
Mm-hmm.
The facts.
That's well said. Yeah.
And so when the facts tell us this is not moving in the right direction, but the stock market's up so much, we took a bit of a cautious approach last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I was nailed for it. Woo!
Yeah,
I was nailed for that call.
Yeah, took some criticism.
Big time.
What you're talking, just for the listeners, what we did is the economic data said economies globally were slowing. The U.S. economy is slowing. So we actually trimmed our equity position by mid-year. And, of course, what happened is equities continued to rally throughout that year, right? So by doing that, we left some return on the table by not being as fully exposed in equities as we were.
Yeah,
right?
Well, if we were fully a strong and perfect market timer, you're correct.
No, but that's what the criticism came
correct.
From.
Correct, yeah, right. You gave up some on the upside.
Yeah,
for
right.
sure.
Now, fast forward to today.
Fast forward today, we're not as exposed to the stock market as many other Canadians are. We've protected our clients to some degree. And guess what's going to be happening fairly soon, my friend?
What?
I'm going to be shopping. I'm going to be buying. And guess what's going to happen? I know I'm going to get nailed for it again.
Well,
why are you doing this?
Right.
Why are you buying when everything is looking so bad?
Okay, well, don't give away all your secrets, because we're going to talk about this in segment four.
Okay,
right? We want to talk about process for a minute, because there's a whole bunch of weird things that go through people's minds when you get these big dislocations.
Yeah. So I like these times because it clears out some of the excess.
Yeah.
It gives you a gut check to realize, are you able to handle this volatility?
Right.
We used to talk about financial repression.
Right.
And that was where the central banks lowered interest rates so low that people had no choice
right.
but to take on risk, because the interest or the return that they would get is what they need
right.
versus what, let's say, GICs or Government of Canada bonds were offering.
Yes.
Well, now it's changed from financial repression, because we're already in low interest rates, so now we've dealt with that. Now it's called TINA. TINA. There is no other place. There's no alternative.
There's nothing else, yeah.
There's no alternative. TINA.
Yeah.
And now there's no alternative but to stay in the equity market.
Yeah.
Because you can't meet your financial goals on 0.5% interest rates.
Right. Okay. So we're going to talk about positioning in the fourth quarter. I want to talk just quickly about something we sent out to clients this week, and
perfect.
I want to share it with people.
Perfect.
Because let's try to make some sense of the market, right? It doesn't seem to make sense. And here's what I'll say. The volatility probably makes sense. I'm not sure the valuations make sense, but the volatility makes sense.
Absolutely, it
okay?
does.
If you think of what the market is trying to price every single day, it's trying to price the unknown of the human cost of the coronavirus.
Correct.
It's trying to price the unknown of the economic impact of the coronavirus, and it's now trying to price the unknown of the
price war.
Price war, yeah, in the oil markets.
And when you talk about the coronavirus itself and the human impact,
right.
What they're really worried about is where is it going? How fast is it going? Is it slowing down in a certain area?
Yeah.
Like that whole we call it the corona tracker,
right?
Where they're trying to track everything,
right?
And they can't. They cannot tell you exactly when and how much yet.
Yeah, and so what happens? What happens when you get these kind of black swan, these big unknowns, is the models break down.
Yeah.
So how do you model those unknowns? It's difficult,
you
right?
You can't.
You can't. And so the market in those situations tends to get really volatile, and we see, you know, the baby out with the bathwater. Just sell everything. We'll ask questions later. That can happen. And that's the scenario that you love.
Yeah.
Because what happens is when the baby goes out with the bathwater, eventually you want to go find the baby again, right? There's an opportunity there, right?
Yeah.
It creates opportunities.
I had a weird visual in my head. But the other side of it is the economic impact. And there's three different parts of the economic impact. I want to go through this really quickly. The economic impact of what the healthcare systems will go through. That's number one. Number two is there is a delay of demand for goods and services.
Yes.
People are,
yes.
Everything's shut down. Like,
pause.
You know,
we're hitting
you
the
know
pause
it's
button.
Really bad in Canada when they shut down hockey.
Right.
Okay. That's how bad it is.
Yep.
Okay. So they've done that.
Right.
So now when do we get back to the hockey season? When do we get back to buying stuff? When can 250 people or more get together in a room?
Like, right. Go like, out for dinners and have banquets.
Stuff like
and,
that.
Yeah.
Right. So those.
Weddings.
So that's deferral of demand.
Right.
And it's not like they're going to buy double the amount when it happens because now, so whatever's happening over the next X number of months, let's say, is gone. How are those companies going to survive?
Right.
When they have who knows how many months it'll be, but in that time frame, are they going to be able to survive and pay their bills and so forth?
Right.
And what kind of program will protect them?
And can the temporarily laid off worker pay the mortgage?
Yeah. And what's happening behind the scenes that no one's really focusing on is the financial plumbing system,
right.
Money flowing.
Right.
And it froze at some points in time. And this is why the central banks kicked in.
Yeah, except that I would argue that this is not a 2008. The central plumbing of the system is not broken. The Fed has provided
clogged.
Liquidity.
It's
fine.
Clogged.
That's not our issue. The issue, I'm not saying that it's not something we have to watch it, but that's not the problem right now. It's not a systemic crack in the system.
Correct.
Okay, the mechanisms are in place to keep the plumbing moving. The problem is we've hit the pause button, right? There will be a temporary pause in global economies if we pursue this strategy of quarantine. The question we have to think through beyond that is, one, will there be an appropriate fiscal response by governments to ensure that regular Canadians, Americans, Europeans can pay the mortgage?
Yep.
Okay? We expect to see that from governments. They know this. The other thing is the small business person. That's the cornerstone of the Canadian economy. Can that person stay in business if nobody is coming to their shop and they have to lay off workers? Can they pay their bills? There's going to have to be a fiscal response.
There's going to be a rippling effect.
To backstop that.
Yeah, and we
and
have.
If they do, just let me finish this thought because yeah. I think it's important. If they do, if we can get that right, then what will happen is our finger will come off the pause button because I know what I'm going to do personally. The minute that I can go back out and I'm comfortable that, you know, we can go and socialize and have friends over again and go to hockey games and do all those things, immediately I'm going back to do that.
Correct.
And then finger comes off the pause button.
Correct. But how long till that pause
that's,
button is
that's
released?
Unknown, right.
Yep. That's the unknown.
Yep.
And so with this whole coronavirus, there's another problem happening in this country,
mm-hmm.
Dave. In this country, you talked about it earlier, there's a generational gap happening. People
yes.
are aging in this country.
Yes.
And is our medical system, our healthcare system, ready for this generation that's now becoming probably one of the largest, if not the largest segment of our population?
Yeah.
And so with the healthcare system, the economy, the markets, everything going in volatility, we need to have some sort of understanding of how do you profit and protect, more importantly, how do you take care of your retirement going forward. So Dave, because of the coronavirus, we are going to have our first live online session. This is a seminar we do every month. We're not going to have a group of people come to the session, but instead we're going to show it to you live online, but you still need to register for this. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com and connect us online so you can get access to our online session of the same seminar that we do every single month directly to you at the comfort of your own home or your mobile device.
It's like a hockey game with no fans in the stands. Or a soccer game with nobody there. It's going to be fantastic.
And you'll be able to communicate with us after the piece so you can have questions and everything like we do in a regular seminar, but you can do this online, so we're going to give it a try just to keep on educating the population considering what we have in front of us. We're going to do this live online on Tuesday, April 21st, 7 p.m.